John Williams Show on Radio 720 WGN. Good afternoon, everybody. Hi to everybody walking by on Michigan Avenue. We're in the Allstate Showcase studio here. It's getting overcast again. It's not that nice outside today, but it's a nice day to be at the Air and Water Show. They finally got it up and running. We checked in with our Violetta Podromatic a couple of times. She's having a good time out there, and the crowds aren't as bad as usual. If you're heading down tomorrow when the weather's supposed to be a lot better, I would hazard guess to say brace for even worse crowds than usual, because I'm imagining there were a lot of people who were headed there today that kind of changed their plans and maybe are going to head out tomorrow. It's a good day, though, to be in Rio, I would guess. Our Stacy St. Clair from the Chicago Tribune is out there. Hey, Stacy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How long have you been in Rio now, Stacy?
What's the date today?
Today is the, I have to check, it's the 20th.
I've been here 19 days.
Oh, my God. That is a long time, and I know it's a very glamorous world of news reporting when it comes to the Olympics, and it's nothing but high society balls and red carpets, I'm sure, every day, yeah. Stacy. But I imagine after 19 days, maybe you want to just get home and do some laundry or something.
Yeah, laundry sounds great. Like a hot bath sounds great. a bed with, you know, sheets sound great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you've had to answer this question a million times already, but this is the first chance I've had to speak with you during the Olympics. A couple of years ago in Sochi, of course, you famously reported on the water situation in the press dorms when it was, I believe, a shade of brown. Was that the color it came out?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was like the color of apple cider, yeah.
It probably didn't taste quite as yummy. And so now you've been in Rio, and there were all these stories leading up to it about the water quality in Rio, about the buildings, about everything else. I feel like now maybe it's because NBC's done a good job. I don't know, but I feel like, and maybe because Ryan Lochte is diverting our attention and others, but I feel like I haven't heard as much, other than some crime, I haven't heard as much about the facilities. Well, I guess there was the green diving pool. There was that. But overall, would you say Rio kind of pulled it off, or are you walking around going, oh, my gosh?
I would say kind of pulled it off is like a perfect description. I've sort of referred to these as the good enough games. Like everything was like none of the venues are like fully finished, but they're good enough. You can compete there. You can, have TV in there, show them how it works, show people back home what's going on. You know, it's not really interrupting the athlete's life too much. So I think, everything has been just sort of, good enough, and then they've tried really hard and you give them props for that. And I mean, this was a big undertaking. It was the first time ever in South America. There were going to be some hiccups and there were hiccups.
Yeah. And I imagine every Olympics you've been at, you would say at least somewhat the same thing though, right, Stace?
Yeah. I mean, definitely Sochi had its problems. London, not so much. They had like a few little ones in the beginning that they corrected very quickly. I think the IOC will look at this as a success because they brought the Olympics to a new part of the world. And I think the Brazilians will look at it as a success because it's gone off without any sort of, major event. To pull off an event like this and not have, a major security issue or not have any kind of major disaster, I think in this day and age, you call it a success, and you give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah. Now, with the buildings that are not quite finished, how did they plan this out? Are those supposed to eventually be permanent buildings, or did they build them sort of this is for the Olympics, and then we'll get rid of them?
There's a mixture, and that is sort of the blueprint of the Olympics, of the modern Olympics.
Yeah.
There's some permanent structures, and there's a lot of temporary structures. They do say that there are permanent structures that they're going to open a whole new world of like sporting and recreational opportunity to the people of Rio. Whether that actually happens, there's a lot of skeptics here because they hosted the Pan Am Games in 2007. They hosted and they built four new structures for that. Those are completely unused by the public, even though they were built much the same way as going to be a public facility. So, but again, that happens in a lot of games. Look at the pictures of Sochi. I mean, Sochi's a ghost town now. A lot of money gets spent for venues that get used for 2 weeks.
Yeah, no kidding. There was a story recently that I saw the headline of that said something like, empty stadiums looks bad for NBC. What has the attendance been like at the events you've been to? Are there good crowds there? Is it tough to get tickets? Or is it, you know, looks a lot better on TV than maybe it does in person as far as the crowd attendance?
Well, you know, I don't really know what you see on NBC because I don't see NBC's
sure.
feed, but... Yeah, the attendance is really low. I mean, I was at Rhythmic Gymnastics today, and it was probably half full. I was at Equestrian yesterday, and that was pretty crowded. And volleyball has been jam packed every night. But if you looked at the track stadium last night, I mean,
yeah.
could have had an entire row to yourself. And I mean, I think it's a bunch of things. I think it's, you know, sponsor tickets that don't get used. Maybe people didn't show up. It's very expensive for the Brazilian public to go to these. The average Brazilian, you know, makes
yeah.
what they make in a month is what it costs to go see a preliminary round of archery. You know, so what are you going to do? You got to make your decisions on how you're going to spend your money
sure.
and probably not going to be at the Olympics. I mean, the crowd's a little, it's very partisan, which is not what we saw in London. The London crowd, was more globally diverse. So there were people from different countries,
yeah.
you know, there cheering different teams. But they are very boisterous, the Brazilian fans. And, they're soccer fans, right? So that's,
yeah.
that's what they know their sports of. So they boo other teams, which is like what you really don't hear too much at the Olympics.
You're not supposed to do that at the Olympics. You're not supposed to boo everybody else.
Yeah, like they, they were, for example, they were hoping that the U.S. women were gonna lose in the semifinals in volleyball, right? And they're very knowledgeable volleyball country, and they were literally like booing they weren't playing Brazil, they were playing Serbia, and they were literally booing the Americans as they were serving, and it was sort of jarring because I don't think they mean it. In a nasty way or an anti-American way, they mean it. This is how they cheer in sports for sports here,
yeah.
right? There's always a good soccer team you train for and a bad soccer team. And the German soccer team got booed a lot here because they have embarrassed the Brazilian team in the past. So that's sort of been an adjustment, but you know it's been spirited.
Okay, so how do things appear there? Because back here, there's been a lot of great stories, of course, Simone and everything else, but there's also been a lot of Ryan Lochte in the last week, and before that, Hope Solo, and a lot of heat that Gabby Douglas got for her reactions to things. And I wonder how, you know, just watching the games as you're watching them without the filter of what we're seeing here, how have you perceived these games? What will you walk away with as your lasting memory?
My lasting memory, I'll try to like cling to the memories of like, you know, the people who had the moral victories because they're almost as fun to watch and to write about. Naomi Grandpierre from the University of Chicago, she made history becoming the first Haitian female swimmer in Olympic history. And, you know, she finished 56th here, but out of 88, but, you know, she still won. I mean, she goes down in the history books and she raises awareness about Haiti. And that's a great thing. But in the end, do I think these will be the Ryan Lochte games? You know, I fear so.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the Gabby Douglas thing was sort of like the American, you know, media cared about that and the American public cared about that, but that wasn't something the world was talking about.
Right.
Between Hope Solo and Ryan Lochte, I mean, that's what everybody here was talking about. You know, the best thing that ever happened to Hope Solo really was Ryan Lochte because, it sort of became like, you know, she was the second ugliest American in, you know, Brazil.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder, and I don't know your take on this, but I'm going to ask you to make a little judgment here. I worry that the stories that I'm seeing that are really great don't involve Americans for the most part. It was the two women running the track race that fell, and the one like helped the other one back up, so they kind of finished together instead of being mad at her. She helped her back up.
Yeah, she was an American though.
Good. I'm glad I didn't see that part. Good.
It was American and New Zealand.
And a New Zealander. Okay. And then the guy in the tennis court who told the other guy, hey, you should challenge that because that was in. So we're seeing these little stories like that out of there, and I'm worried that are Americans. Have Americans become more worried about gold medals than about the Olympic spirit? Or maybe that's just how it's always been, but we're watching things so much more intensely now and finding things to be unhappy about so intensely. I wonder that if the Olympic spirit has gotten out of our American sense of the Olympics a little bit.
You know, I think there's always, I think the coverage, and I'm not just saying NBC coverage, I'm saying everyone's coverage is sort of medals driven.
Sure.
And so maybe we're not, you know, delivering that to the public as well as we should be. But, you know, like, look, I was just over at Rhythmic Gymnastics. The United States and their team, it trains in Northbrook, so there's five Chicagoans on that team. And they finished dead last, right? They're 14th mm-hmm. out of 14. And, like, they were crying at the end of their routine. And I thought, you know, they're upset that they've done so badly. But, no, they were so proud because they were the first U.S. team to ever compete, to ever qualify for the Olympics. And, you know, that was their moment. And they took it and they loved it and they embraced it. So, you know, I see something like that and I'm like, okay, you know, this is why this exists. It's not for just people who can get on top of the medal stand. Yeah. It's for everybody else who has a moral victory along the way.
It is interesting because I think we forget as we're watching it, we want them to win. And if they're in fourth, we're all disappointed and stuff. But the work that it took just to get to those games, it would be,
right.
You could understand where somebody would say, hey, I got here. And so while I didn't walk away with the medal, I was at the Olympics. How many other people you know that are ever going to say that?
Exactly. I mean, you know, there was Haley Augello from Lockport. You know, after she lost, she was devastated. She was, you know, talking to the media afterwards, which they're sort of required to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was in tears. She's 21 years old. And, you know, she did walk away and said, you know what, you know, I am an Olympian. And that's never going to change.
Yeah.
And that is 100% true. Like, she's a U.S. Olympian, and that doesn't change with the results of, you know, who's in the medal stand and who's not.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be reminded of that. I get to see that every day, multiple times a day, but the average Olympic follower doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's too bad.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I think that's great. Now, with the Olympics, there are so many different sports, and I don't want you to pick on anything, but Stacey, there's got to be sometimes you're at an event and you roll your eyes going, this is an Olympic sport? Do you ever say that? You don't have to name it. You don't have to.
Yes.
I just want to make sure.
Or I'm at an event and I thought, if my parents had gotten me into this at 8 years old, there's like, what, seven people in the world who do this. I could have become an Olympian. You know, there was. And, you know, every time I see, like, you know, the guy who won equestrian yesterday, the jumping event, is 58 years old. And I was like, there's still time.
Yes,
you know,
there you go.
There's still time.
You leave that Chicago Tribune behind, get on a horse, and here we go. Olympics 2028, whatever.
I'm starting the GoFundMe page tonight.
I will donate, I promise. All right, so 2 years from now, I'm assuming you'll still be here doing this, what you do, and you will be in South Korea for Winter Olympics.
Yep.
So
I don't know if I'll be there, but that's where they're playing.
Oh, you're going to be there, Stacey, trust me. So let's assume that. Do you look forward to that? Do you think, oh, God, I need these 2 years between Olympics? Or, you know, is there an excitement? Do you get jazzed up for going to the Olympics every time? Or is it become, it's tough, it's a job, I got to go to all these things, I never know when, especially going to South Korea.
I mean, I got paid today to sit in a arena and watch, you know, people twirl batons twirl ribbons from all over the world. It's like, that's the greatest job in America. I mean, no, it never gets boring seeing people, like, I mean, literally every day you're watching dozens of people, like, achieve a lifetime dream, and you're doing it with all these other people from around the world. And I mean, I know the Olympics has its problems. I know the IOC is, you know, the definition of corruption in sometimes, but at the end of the day, you know, there are people who have dedicated their whole lives achieving one moment, and they've done it, and I get to witness that, and that is really cool.
Is this your third Olympics now?
This is my third, yeah.
This is your third. So I would imagine you've made some really cool friends from around the world, because there's probably a kind of a group of journalists that you end up seeing again and again at the Olympics.
Exactly. We see each other. It's kind of like camp friends. You know, we see each other every 2 years, and, you know, none of us get a lot of sleep, and the food's bad. And in this case, we have a ton of extra bug spray. But, it's really fun. And, like, you end up, you know, trying to, like, communicate with reporters that you've never, you know, you don't speak the same language. And, you know, we all bond over the terrible coffee. And it just, yeah, it's really fun, and you hear how things work in their newsrooms, and sometimes they're, like, completely different from your own, and then sometimes they're, like, frighteningly similar. So, yeah, I got no complaints. I mean, yes, the hours are long or whatever, but
sure. It's a couple of weeks.
Tell me a better job.
It's a cool experience. Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. So now, do you stay through closing ceremonies?
Yeah, I'll be covering the closing ceremonies tomorrow night, where rain is expected, so... That could be fun.
Real quick, because I watched the opening ceremonies, and I hate to sound catty, but I thought they were insanely boring. And I know that's terrible to say, but it's the toughest thing to produce probably in the world is the opening ceremonies, because you have about 2 hours of just people walking in. And so they've got to somehow make that entertaining, which is very tough. And so you need a big payoff after that, like Muhammad Ali lighting the torch, or somebody with a bow and arrow lighting the torch, or some dude running around the top of the wall in China. Did I miss it, or was there just, they kind of maybe didn't have that here?
Yeah, no, and that was almost intentional. I mean, they've had to scale back. Like I said, these are the good enough games. They have scaled back everything. And their budget for the opening ceremonies was like a fraction of what Beijing and what London had. And so they kind of went in trying to, like, tamp down expectations, saying, like, you know, hey, given Brazil's economy right now, we're not going to do this extravaganza, and that's the responsible thing to do. So I think you're going to see pretty much the same thing for the closing. I personally love the Parade of Nations. So, I mean, that's how I kind of learned flags and maps when I was a kid, you know, Papua New Guinea, you know. And so I do love the Parade of Nations, but I think if you don't like that, I think it's going to be much the same. They did announce today that Simone Biles is going to be the flag bearer in the closing ceremony, so I'm sure she'll get lots of airtime on NBC. And she's a really deserved flag bearer. That was a nice. Usually they don't give it to the star of the games, but it was nice to see her.
Well, it is nice, because she's been kind of, I think, America's champion through these games, and has come off very shiny and looking great, and also that she's staying till the end. It always drives me nuts when then everybody wins and then they're in Phoenix the next day, and it's like, dude, stay and watch the other Olympians. This is you prepared for 4 years. It's done. Now just enjoy your time there, and let's cheer on everybody else.
Exactly.
And stay out of the gas station.
Right. Please. We had a story the other day that about 50% of all the Olympians are already gone.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And I think in some cases, like, you know, maybe you want Ryan Lochte out of town. You don't mind if he leaves.
True.
And I think there were, you know, safety concerns here, that they were like, let's just get these people out of town, you know, as soon as we can. But yeah, I mean, Simone and the entire gymnastics team, at least that I've seen, you know, have stayed. They've done the media. They've gone to other venues. They're on social media, enjoying Rio. And I think that has, and I think, you know, the Brazilian people have really embraced that.
Our Stacey St. Clair covering it for the Chicago Tribune. We'll read her in the Chicago Tribune at chicagotribune.com and on your front porch in the morning. Stacey, thank you so much. Stay safe. We'll see you back in town soon.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Stacey St. Clair.